Yep. So when we pray for stuff like that, that's our role. That's the church's role, is to bring justice. And the world needs a little bit of that. Anyone agree? Amen. Well, I'm going to speak to you today. It's Christmas time, and I love Christmas. I absolutely love it. So if you've got your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to get straight into it. And I'm going to read a bit of the Christmas story out of Luke chapter 2. If you have your Bibles with you. Luke chapter 2, and we'll start in verse 1. So in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. I don't think I'll bother with it. And verse 3, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Everyone say, "Just as they had been told." Great work. Christmas. I had my Christmas party last night. And, you know, I like to get my bit of jingle on at the end of the year. Few Christmas parties don't do me any harm at all, quite like a Christmas party. And I love the whole build-up to Christmas. I love the whole build-up to Christmas. You know, that little sense of expectation, and as Mark keeps disappearing and presents are appearing, and I'm thinking, oh, the expectation's building, and I drop a few hints about what I might like. And my favourite song at the moment is a Kelly Clarkson song off her Christmas album. Does anyone have Kelly Clarkson's Christmas album? Aaron? Excuse me, I collect Christmas albums, so if you ever come to my house and feel like a bit of a sing-along, just come over. I've got them all set out. And Kelly Clarkson has a song called "Four Carrots, Please." And it's asking Santa to come on Christmas Eve and, you know, something that sparkles and "Four Carrots, Please." Anyway, so I'm dancing around my kitchen singing this song to my husband, so I don't know. I don't know whether what's going to turn up in my Christmas present. But I think all of us are a bit like that. We love, you know, the bit of expectation when it comes to Christmas. And I don't know if any of you have had the experience where you have had a sense of expectation and picked up a Christmas present, and all of a sudden you've opened it and you've said, "That's not what I expected." Anyone? Or, "That was unexpected." Now, that's a tip for this Christmas. If you get anything that's, you know, not quite what you thought, just say, "Oh, that was unexpected." And that's the title of my message today. So I want to share with you what I got one Christmas from my mother-in-law. So I was really excited and I opened this present and this is what I got. That is a true story. I got socks, and not only socks, they were long socks with bauble things on the top of them. I know. So That is actually, so I had to take a picture of them. I was so excited that that's what I got for Christmas. So I'm hoping not to get those this year, but you can always say that was unexpected. You see, if you read that Christmas story, God's been talking to me a little bit about the Christmas story this week. And we've, you know, for people who've been around in church for a while, you hear the Christmas story and then you hear it from the shepherd's perspective, and you'll hear it from the wise men's perspective and Mary's perspective and Joseph's perspective. And God was saying, well, you know the Christmas story. You've got the benefit of hindsight. You've got the benefit of having the whole book, and you can read the further chapters and work out what happens in the story. Is that right? Who would like to have the whole book of your life that when you're in chapter 15, you can work out how the story ends and therefore chapter 15 would be easier? Yeah. Dice like, no, don't tell me. But sometimes we want to know how it works out. And with the Christmas story, we know how it works out. We know that this baby that the shepherds went to see was the saviour of the world. We know that he grew up. We know that he got to 30 years old and he launched his ministry and he did incredible miracles, and then he died on a cross and he rose on the third day and he's now our Lord and Saviour. Yes? We know the story. But at the time that it happened, the people who lived in that time didn't know the rest of the story. When this baby turned up, they didn't know the rest of the story. And God took me back and he said, well, I'd spoken some words in helping them get prepared for what was going to happen. I told them a little bit. So he took me back to Isaiah chapter 9, and I want to read you this scripture. So in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 and 7, there's a prophecy. And a lot of the Old Testament has a lot of prophecies around the coming of Jesus. And so if you study the scriptures, if it's new to you, the Old Testament is before Jesus was born. The New Testament is after Jesus was born. The Old Testament has prophecy. So if we can put that one up. Have you got that one, Aidan? Yep. This is the prophecy. For to us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. So the people, the Israelites, had a prophecy about a baby being born. The interesting thing about this particular prophecy in Isaiah is that it was written during a period of war. So the Israelites are in war. They're in captivity. Their land's being taken. Their property's being taken. It's a terrible, terrible time in their lives. And a promise from God is prophesied into that space. Now, if you read that scripture, knowing the context in which it was written, how would you expect God to move? If you read that scripture and you think about it from their perspective, they're in war. What do you think a savior looks like? I think he looks like a warrior. I think he looks like some powerful king who's going to wipe out all their enemies. I think he looks like a whole range of things. And that's when that promise comes through. There are promises that God has given you, which you will experience during a particular time in your life. He will give you a promise about your future to take you through your current situation. But the interesting thing about promises is that we tend to interpret those promises through the experience or the lens that we've got on during the time that we get that promise. If the Israelites had only read that part of the prophecy, I think that they would be expecting something quite extraordinary. And then if you fast forward in time to the Christmas story, we see a baby born to an unmarried mother in a barn. Sorry, God. I had a scripture back in Isaiah. I'll pull it up for you. It said that the government would reign upon his shoulders and he'd be called Mighty God. Excuse me. I mean, I would have been a great shepherd. excuse me, God. Not really what I was expecting. And fast forward through the New Testament even further, the Jewish people knew the scriptures. They knew the scriptures. They had read them. They had those promises written for them. And yet what turned up in the life of Jesus was a man who they thought their Messiah was going to become and be part of the religious elite. But he didn't. He came from a young woman who wasn't married. They thought their Messiah would be full of glory, come in power, but he came as a baby. They thought their Messiah would praise the Pharisees and tell the sinners off. And yet Jesus chastised the Pharisees and loved the sinner. And they thought that their Messiah would destroy the Roman Empire. But Jesus said, "Give unto Caesar what is Caesar's." And they expected that he would wear a crown and take up a sword. But Jesus took up a cross. See, God's got two habits. One is promising, and two is delivering. For us, though, it's not always as we expect. All through the Bible, we can see it. There is a God who promises and then delivers in a way that we don't expect. Daniel in the lion's den. Why would he even let Daniel get in the lion's den? But he did, but he closed the mouth of the lion. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why did he let them be thrown into the furnace? But he did, but he saved them in the fire. Moses, he turns up as a burning bush. Lazarus, he lets Lazarus die and then calls him out and brings him back to life. Queen Esther gets abducted and God brings around a purpose for a people out of her life. Elijah heard an earthquake and an enormous wind and saw a huge fire. But God wasn't in any of that. He was in the small wind. Abraham and Sarah had to wait 99 years for a baby. See, when God was selecting a king for the Israelites, you would have thought he would have picked the firstborn, the eldest child. But no, he picked a little shepherd boy, the youngest, out in the field. When choosing the disciples, you'd think he'd choose the most qualified, the best people that he could find. No, he chose the least qualified. When he chose someone to spread the gospel right across the world in the early church, he chose someone that hated Christians in Paul. So here's the word for someone today. And I know that someone needs to hear that. This morning, God will deliver on his promises. It just might be in a way that you don't expect. He does deliver on his promises. All my expectations of how God will intervene in my situations, all my expectations of how life might work out, all my expectations of how I think God works, his promises are above that. His wisdom and his plans are way above that. You see, I don't need to look at my current situation, my current circumstances to try and interpret what that promise looks like. And I don't necessarily need to use my experience to create an expectation on how I think God will move. All I need to know is that God gives us promises and God keeps his promises. And when I know those two things, I've got something which we all need a bit at Christmas, and that's hope. I've got this hope as an anchor for my soul because it holds me steadfast. You see, you think about the Jewish people missed it. Quite a lot of them missed it. They missed the miracle that was the Messiah because they were expecting something different. And we can sometimes be looking for God to work in a certain way in our lives and miss his hand at work in that very situation. You see, the God of Daniel, the God of Jesus, the God of Elijah, he's the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Can I have the musicians, please? As we come to the end of the year and towards Christmas, and you think back on 2016, maybe 2016 didn't quite happen as you expected. For some of us, there were great surprises, good surprises in 2016. And for many of us, 2016 had some stuff that happened that we didn't expect. In Christmas time, though, there's a hope. There's a hope. The Christmas story is one of hope. It's one of God delivering on a promise of old. The Christmas story, in that moment as those shepherds came in, I love how they describe the shepherds' reaction. The shepherds were told, go to Bethlehem and you will find a child. And they went with an open heart to say, well, God, I don't know what to expect, but whatever I find there is what you're doing on planet Earth at this time. Does that make sense? And when we have a heart like that at Christmas, whatever comes next year, we have a hope. We have a hope that 2017 is in the hand of God, who has a plan, he has a promise, and he will fulfill it. Psalms 89 and verse 34 says this. It says, no, I will not break my covenant. I will not take back a single word I have said. That's a scripture from the mouth of God. I will not break my covenant. I will not take back a single word I've said. I know somebody here today needs to hear that that promise is still there. That that word of God over your life is still there. That everlasting heaven is still there. That God is still moving in Hobart, that he still has a plan, that his spirit is hovering over the great south land of Australia, that he is in Aleppo, that he is in Syria, that he will come again, that there will be another rising dawn. And when we go towards Christmas, that's why we have the joy of Christmas. Because Christmas reminds us of God's hand intervening in the life of men. To bring salvation, to bring restoration. And the promises in Isaiah are true. That prophecy was true and it was right. And maybe at the time they misinterpreted what it might look like, but it came to pass. And now we know the next part of the chapter. But the better bit than that is we don't even know the end of the story. We're not there yet. Yeah? And so I don't mind what chapter we're in. I don't mind what chapter 2016 was in my life. I'm okay with it because I've got a hope that's an anchor for my soul that's going to take me off into 2017 because I know that he's there and I know that he has my future. I've got a sense for this year coming for this particular church that God says his word will not come back void. That the promises for his house and his church in Hobart is the same as it was. It just turned out a little bit different than we expected. Amen? Amen. And that is the hope that we have. And that is what he calls us to celebrate this Christmas. It's not that we're in control or not that things have turned out the way we expected, but that he knows exactly how the end of the story is. Amen? Come on, it's Christmas. Do I need to sing a carol? Come on, we have hope on the inside of us. Prophesy hope. Prophesy hope across this city while you pray at Christmas. Prophesy a future with a rising sun. It's there. It's there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20 says, "For all God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ, and with a resounding yes, and through Christ, our amen," which means our yes, "ascends to God for his glory." That scripture means that God sends a promise, and when he sends a promise, he says yes. And then we say yes, and the circle of glory back to God is complete. Amen? When we start saying yes, when we start saying, "God, I believe that you have a hope and a future for me. God, when I hear that you have come, that no man shall perish, but all would have everlasting life." When we say yes, his promise is yes, and we're all in agreement and we move forward. We've got to prophesy from the inside, out our mouths, that there is a hope and a future. If you're here this morning, I want to share that scripture that I'm talking about. You may not have heard this one, but in Jeremiah, in chapter 29, it's another prophetic type chapter, which means that it was people in the Old Testament talking about the future. And it says this, in verse 8, it says, "This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says, 'Do not let your prophets and fortune tellers who are with you in the land of Babylon trick you. Do not listen to their dreams because they are telling you lies in my name. I have not sent them,' said the Lord. Your hope is not based on your star sign. Your hope is not based on the expectations of the economic market. Your hope is not based on anyone who's going to start telling you what the future looks like. They don't worry about what they say about 2017 because this is what the Lord God says. In verse 10, it said, 'This is what the Lord says. You will be in Babylon for 70 years, but then I will come and do for you all the good things that I have promised. I will come and do all the good things that I have promised. And I will bring you home again.' And this is verse 11. 'For I know the plans I have for you,' says the Lord." His plans far above our plans. And if you've never heard this scripture and you're here for the first time this morning, you need to know that God has a plan for your life. A plan. And this is what the plan says. The scripture goes on. It says, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days when you pray, I will listen. And if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity and restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations and where I sent you, and I will bring you home again to your own land." That was a prophetic scripture to the people of Israel at that time. The scripture never comes back void. That scripture is the same then as it is today, as it will be tomorrow. And when we say yes and amen, God, we partner with him in the plans and purposes that he has for our lives. And it doesn't matter what happens. Doesn't matter. Even when it's unexpected, even when you get a Christmas present that looks like baubled socks, it will still achieve the purpose from which it was given. Those socks were given to me because I have cold feet. They achieve what they were intended to achieve. I don't have cold feet when I wear those socks. They just weren't what I expected. Amen? Amen. Sometimes things don't go as we expect. But we need to know in the depths of who we are that He is a God that will deliver what He said He was going to deliver. His promises never come back void. Let's just close our eyes. I hope your spirit on the inside is saying hallelujah, which means, God, we give you the glory. If you're here this morning, maybe you've come this morning looking for something different. Maybe you've come just to see if there is a God. Maybe you're hurting. Maybe 2016 has been tough. God sent me this morning to tell you that the story of Christmas was about a love so big and so wide that God would love you. You as a person who knows your name. He would love you so much that He would send His Son to be born in that manger, to grow up. But at the end of His life, He did something. And that was to be the perfect sacrifice for you. To die on a cross, which was the consequence of all of our sin. And He did that. He did that as a gift. But it didn't end there. On the third day, He rose again. What that means is that we can have a real relationship with Him today. He's alive. There is evidence all around us of the hand of God. Can I tell you this morning that the greatest Christmas present to your life will be to know the love of God? And just while every eye is closed and head's bowed, if there's anyone here this morning that just says, I need God in my life, maybe for the first time, I need to know this Jesus. I need forgiveness for what I've done. I want to start again. I need to feel love. I want to come home. Is there anyone here this morning? Just as I look around, I'm just going to ask you, put your hand in the air and you can put it down again, and I'm going to acknowledge it. And we're going to pray together. Is there anyone here this morning that wants to do that this morning? Just put your hand in the air. I'll acknowledge it. You can put it down again. Just as I'm looking around this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God, impart to us this morning a great joy that exists with your hope. Lord, let us anticipate with an open heart, not set rigid expectations, God, but let's anticipate what your hand might do. Lord, let us look forward to our future with a smile on our heart and faith there, God. Because whatever comes, your hand will be at work and your plans will be coming to pass. Amen. 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 I was going to sing a song. Whitey, did you have something that you wanted to do before we finish? You know that song we sang this morning, The Lion and the Lamb? Music team, just give you like, you know, a 30-second head up. I love being on the music team when the preacher does that and you're like, ha-ha, yeah, thanks for that. Just give us a second, it'll be fine. When we sing that song, I just was singing that song this morning in the context of this message and Christmas and our expectation. Because God is a lion that's fighting our battles. So there is a powerful God that is working on our behalf. But there is also a lamb who is meek and mild and was a sacrifice for us. And He's both and. Amen? He's both and. God can work in so many different ways that we can't expect. And I felt like this song, I reckon we should sing it out of a hope.
Me and you.
No, not me and you. Oh.
Hey, come on, we can do this.
Why do birds suddenly appear? No. So I think we should sing this from a stance of hope. Is anyone with me this morning? Does anyone want to get on their feet this morning and sing this? Jaron's going to lead us. You are doing such a great job, Jaron. Amen.